Barges are on the move, so we'll keep across that one for you. And meantime, welcome to Legally Speaking with Michael Mulligan of Mulligan, Tam & Pearson. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Very nice to see you.
You too.
We're going to talk about the injunction to remove campers still left at Tent City. You had your own Tent City experience. Tell us about that.
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday, I had an occasion to wind up in the middle of Tent City. I had a witness on a trial that I was involved with who decided to, on the break, flee into Tent City looking for heroin, apparently. And the police went in pursuit of her to make sure she wasn't going to do that on the court break. So I went along to see how that would progress. And I concluded that with four police officers there, I was likely safe going into the middle of the Tent City. And it's really changed in character over the last number of weeks. When it was first established, I think Tent City might have been a fair description of it, sort of a number of tents sitting on a green lawn. It's now degraded to the point where it's a sort of a mud-filled area with boards to step on. There are a variety of structures that are sort of semi-permanent, built out of things like pallets and crates. You've got all manner of sort of property strewn about. There's some outhouses that have been put on a lawn near the entrance to the Justice Access Center that's there. But it's certainly a grim state of affairs at the moment. It has taken on a much sort of degraded character from what it was when it began. And it was a location where at least this witness was apparently fleeing to in an effort to buy drugs on the quick during a court break.
Wow. Did it seem that there were fewer tents there, that there were fewer people there, or did it still seem that there were lots of tents and lots of people, or fewer than before?
I wouldn't describe it as crowded in terms of the number of people. The lawn is full of things, everything from garbage to used containers, permanent and semi-permanent structures, an area that looks like for a fire pit. It's full of things, but it's turned into a sort of a muddy bog surrounded by those sort of things. So a completely unpleasant place.
Mm-hmm. A little different than when I saw it. It was a little more intact. Do you think that perhaps the announcement that Mount Edward is going to have more places for people to go, that the province is even stepped up their efforts some more, that people are draining out, and that it's some stalwart protesters that are bent on the bigger issue of the lack of housing?
There would be a mix, right? There are going to be some people who are legitimately homeless, although fewer than there would have been, given that there are now a number of other options in terms of places for them to go that would be much better than this awful place, what it's turned into. There would be other people there, I suspect, who are entrenched drug addicts, where that it looks like that's available. I think there was an overdose there a few weeks ago. So that's going to be a component of it. I imagine there's some people there that are there protesting in one form or other, although it is so unpleasant. You must be a pretty determined protester if you're spending any time in that environment.
CFAX listeners, as we talk about the injunction with Michael Mulligan, tell us what you think. Do you want to see the remaining campers at Tent City removed, or should they be allowed to stay? 250-386-1161, *1070 on your cell phone. Our email address is talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. All right, let's talk about the province. Seeks an injunction. We thought it was coming. It's happened. What is the process?
So the province of British Columbia has filed what's referred to as a notice of civil claim, setting out what it is that they're asking for. And what they're seeking is an injunction or an order of the court that would direct the people. It names a number of people, interestingly.
Actual campers.
It names a number of the campers, but then it's also directed at sort of persons unknown, because, of course, they wouldn't know the identity of everyone who's there.
How do they, with all the people in there, I mean, how many names of campers are in there, roughly?
It looks like perhaps 15 or 20 people named here.
Would they need to name that many people to seek this?
Well, I suppose if they know who the people are, that would be an appropriate thing to do. There would ordinarily, with a civil claim of this sort, one of the first steps once you've drafted this would be to serve the people to give them notice that this is happening so they can file a reply in court or get counsel to show up and respond to it in some way.
Would they have it on their records then, these people?
Well, it's not a record. It's not a charge. It's sort of like a civil action. If you're suing somebody, this would be the sort of document which would be filed if you wanted to sue somebody or, in this case, seek an injunction. And the notice of civil claim sets out the sort of the alleged factual background and then the legal basis for the application. And the legal basis here, it relies in part on an act, provincial act, called the Trespass Act. And the Trespass Act provides that where somebody who is the owner of property gives notice to somebody to leave the property or stop engaging in a particular activity on the property, where they don't do that, the person is actually committing an offense, the person who stays on the property. So if you go out and say, look, please get your tent off my front lawn, and the person doesn't get their tent off the front lawn, they're actually committing an offense under the Trespass Act, which would make them susceptible to, for example, arrest by the police. So while the city or while the province is taking a sort of a more measured approach, seeking the injunction from the court, it would appear that the people there, having been told to leave, when you if you don't leave a property, you're committing an offense. So in theory, the police could show up and arrest them at any time if they chose to.
Okay. Listeners want to wade in here. Let's get to Carol. Hi, Carol. Thanks for calling CFAX.
Hi. I have to say, at the beginning with Tent City, I really sympathized with the people, and I agree there's not enough housing in that. But the other night, I was driving by slowly, and I saw a woman with either a machete or a big knife hacking away at all the bushes at the corner. And I thought, there is no respect here at all. None. I'm really very upset about that. And I think my opinions are slowly changing. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah,
I
appreciate that, Carol.
Okay.
Yeah, some people losing sympathy, Michael, as time stretches on. Does that work to the province's advantage? Should they, the police go in there and rip it down?
I think so. The other thing which I think is sensible in terms of how the province has proceeded is that they haven't done it in a sort of a high-handed or hasty fashion. They've given the people their notice. They've provided alternative places for them to go if they're looking for accommodation. So I think the slow and measured approach is an appropriate one. During the time that's passed, though, there's been serious sort of degradation of the place. It's no longer tents on a lawn.
Right,
it's a
Carol's saying
semi-permanent
bushes,
sort of encampment with people building things out of wood, and it's destroyed the property.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Don. You're on CFAX. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning, Pamela, and to your guest. I believe Canada and Victoria, they were built on the rule of law, and I think over the last decade or so, I've seen somewhat of an erosion of the rule of law, almost to the point where it's become an elastic band, and we tend from time to time as society to cherry pick it or lean on the law when it's in our favor. So, no, the contract, as far as I can understand, being a Canadian, I openly agree that I will abide my affairs under the rule of law, and therefore the tenters must leave. They've abused, I would even say, compassion from the taxpayers, never mind the rule of law. So, no, the sooner they're out of there, the better it is for all the taxpayers, including the tenters, because it sets a very dangerous acceptance if we allow them to stay any longer.
Thanks, Don. Michael, setting precedents and the like.
Yeah, I mean, and that's an important point. People should be abiding by the law. And, you know, in that regard, I think the province is taking an appropriate approach, which is to go to court and seek the injunction. Now, while I mentioned the Trespass Act, the legal issues are somewhat more complex than that. And in fact, the judge that's assigned to hear the injunction application, which I understand is set for the 10th of next week, is Chief Justice Hinkson. He's a very experienced judge. He's the Chief Justice, in fact. He heard a similar application for an injunction from the city of Abbotsford. And that was a circumstance, it was in 2015, so last year. And it was an injunction application brought by the city of Abbotsford when they had a not dissimilar problem with people setting up a permanent or semi-permanent camp in park land in Abbotsford. That case, the Chief Justice denied the application by the City of Abbotsford, and his reason for denying it, he followed closely the decision that originated in Victoria and eventually went to the Court of Appeal, which was one which prohibited in an absolute way people setting up structures in parks, people who were homeless. And the Chief Justice followed that decision and found that the bylaw in the City of Abbotsford, which just absolutely prohibited people in narrow circumstances from setting up shelter, was unconstitutional because there was an inadequate number of places for them to go, not enough shelter beds, but did so in a limited way, saying that it was only unconstitutional to prohibit people from camping somewhere during sort of hours at night. I think it was 7 p.m. till 9 a.m., saying, look, you can't force people to live outside without a shelter above their head if there's nowhere else for them to go. But it was limited in that way, which has been the state of affairs in Victoria for some time. The problem has arisen here at the courthouse lawn because that time limit hasn't applied. So then you have this circumstance where it's not somebody setting up a tent for the night because they have nowhere to go. It's turned into a shanty town.
Mm. Hi, John. You're on CFAX. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, interesting problem. I've listened to this on the radio for quite some time, and I just happened to be down in the area and drove up one street on one side of it and across and back down Burdett. And I'm just absolutely dismayed. There's so much rubbish. The trees are visually damaged. It's just destroyed the land. And I go from being sympathetic to being somewhat annoyed or almost, I don't know, affronted by it. I don't know what the answer is, but I guess my comment is for people who are feeling sympathetic towards the problem as this kind of escalates, take a drive by and have a look at what really is happening to the taxpayers' land.
Thanks, John. Thanks for sharing. At the end of the day, Michael, you're nodding in terms of, the rule of law. You're a lawyer.
Yeah, and that's how it should be dealt with, right? I think the application in court's appropriate. It's appropriate to give the people there notice of it. And if they want to respond, I think there's a lawyer or lawyers from an organization called, I think it's Together Against Poverty, who may show up to oppose the application.
They've said that they will.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I mean, that is the rule of law.
Does that extend this whole thing if they go in there and they fight the injunction?
Well, it may take longer to hear it, but this isn't a problem which is a sort of an emergent problem today. We've had these people camping there for some period of time, or various people doing it. It's not clear it's the same individuals.
You're talking about the degradation of people phoning in talking about the degradation of this property.
Yes, that's already happened. I mean, the place has been ruined at the moment. So it has to be dealt with, but whether the hearing takes one day or 2 days to be heard, I think that's fair enough, and we should give people a chance to air their views.
Hi, Laura, you're on CFAX.
Hello.
Good morning. You're on CFAX.
Hi. This is Lori. I live across from Tent City, and my look on it and my opinion is we're a small city of 80,000 people. We already have Pacifica Housing, Kool-Aid, Baptist Housing, St. Vincent de Paul, Our Place, Salvation Army, countless church organizations that help these people. But these people over there don't want help. The one told me directly, I want land. Well, you have to go to work for it. Mm. You can't just demand things. Go to work. That's what I've done all my life.
Were you sympathetic, Lori? Were you sympathetic at the outset?
Well, I know there's people with mental health issues for sure, and drug addicts. And I have maintained all along that they need services. But you should see what we put up with every day. Excrement all around our building, needles, they're breaking in, they're looking in our windows, spitting on our windows. It's just gone too far. We don't have anything left outside. It's all been stolen. And they say, how do you know it's them? Well, I've been here 17 years. For over 16 years, I never had anything stolen from the property here.
Mm. Thanks, Lori. Hope things improve for you.
Well.
Sorry to cut you off. I'm just on to Greg here. Hi, Greg. You're on CFAX.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wonder why they don't bring one of those big dumpsters in and put it at the front there so people can start helping and moving and getting their stuff out of there, and maybe they could get the idea that they're going to have to move on, and maybe it would give them a bit of a push to sort of say, hey, we're going to have to go. Maybe we should start dismantling things and have some place where they can put some of this stuff.
Mm. Thanks, Greg. Michael, what about that idea?
They've done that. Along with the porta potties, there's a overflowing now dumpster of stuff, garbage there, and a place to put things. But the reality is, if you've got a large group of people with serious mental illnesses and drug addictions, they're probably not putting a great deal of effort into putting their garbage in the trash.
Well, this is a big point here. We're not necessarily dealing with people who, you know, one caller saying, you know, they need to get jobs and stuff that are functioning well in a regular society and that they need help. Do you think that part of the reason that they're staying there is because of mental health issues? I mean, as you said, there's that component, and then there are stalwart protesters that want to broaden the issue.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. There's no doubt that there's a group of people who have such serious mental illnesses and drug addiction that they just don't have any hope of productive employment. One of the things which seems to me is an important distinction between this Abbotsford case and our state of affairs here is that there appear to be alternative places to go. At the former youth detention center, they've set up places for people to camp. They have spaces inside there. They're providing food is available there. They have the other retirement home available, although that may be filled, the current number of rooms. They're talking about building more. But there are other places to go that would be more suitable. And the decision from Abbotsford and the other one from the Court of Appeal that related to Victoria, there's no general constitutional right to build a structure anywhere you want or camp anywhere you want. It's much more limited than that. Looking at those cases, it's that you can't have a state of affairs where if there is nowhere for you to go, that you're obliged to sleep outside without cover on your head at night. That's the limit of it. You don't have a constitutional right to build a structure on in the park.
Oh, let's get to Vicky's next. Hi, Vicky. You're on CFAX.
Hi. I've been quite disturbed in hearing some of the responses from our community. You know, I can get jaded myself and think, is this the true colors of our town? But I also know the other side of it, and I've witnessed a whole row of parents and little kids bringing pizza, and they let their kids go right into the middle, and they weren't holding them up away from people or nothing. People have different trust issues, and their experiences in life determine how they judge others. I wish there would be more tolerance. We look at Europe and the refugee situation there, and we still have it so good. I believe that a lot of Canadians are delusional about how safe we really are as a general populace. This whole thing about following the law is pertinent when you are in a democracy, and in a democracy, apparently, all this was started off with the fact that landowners got to vote. If you're not a landowner, then that means you're someone that's disqualified for trying to save your own life. This is going on in every corner of the planet, and it's happening here in Victoria, BC.
Thanks, Vicky. Michael, we've got about 40 seconds here. Tell us what's going to happen. If the judge says yes to this injunction, then the cops go in and remove everybody?
Yes. I don't expect it'll be a foot race from the courtroom to the encampment. But that would be the eventual how it would play out. You would hope, though, in terms of the comments about respect for the rule of law, while the people that are there have so far ignored the requests to leave, you would hope if there is a court order directing them to leave that they would do so. If they don't, in the face of a court order, they would be subject to being arrested, charged criminally with breaching the court order, and being physically removed. But you would hope it wouldn't come to that. You would hope that while you know, we should certainly give people a chance to come and speak to it and argue for their position. You would hope that they would respect the decision of the court at the end of the day.
Thank you so much once again for your excellent information. You're like my cub reporter now, and I really like it. Sorry we couldn't get to all the calls. Thanks so much to Michael Mulligan of